Here's an urgent message from Agora Financial.
Like it or not, marijuana legalization is sweeping the country. On Election Day, California, Nevada, and Massachusetts all roundly voted to legalize recreational marijuana use. And that means that very soon, dozens of tiny marijuana firm stocks could skyrocket by 100%, 300%, 500%, or higher. This is your chance to turn a single $50 bill into an absolute fortune. But you need to get in ASAP. Shares could begin soaring soon. According to CNBC, now is the right time to bet big on marijuana, as the industry is poised to be gigantic, and Forbes is touting that hundreds of millions of dollars are pouring in. Go to profitfrompot.com to find out how you can legally stake a claim in the best of the best that the industry has to offer. If you don't, you'll probably regret it for the rest of your life. Go to profitfrompot.com now. That's profitfrompot.com.
Welcome to Recalculating America. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America and has been named the best small business book in the Independent Press Awards competition. Each Recalculating program is dedicated to helping small business leaders add profits through efficient growth. During every Recalculating program, experts will give listeners useful information about starting or growing their small business. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money. He specializes in helping small business owners make their money work as hard as they do.
Dan Perkins here, and I'm your co-host along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating, the radio program that has evolved out of the award-winning book dedicated to helping small business leaders increase their profits. We draw our name from the book named the Best Small Business Book of 2017 by the Independent Press. This book features contributions of more than 100 presidents, experts, and leaders, all whom offer you ways to grow your small business.
Well, Dan, our program is about growing small businesses, and our next guest, I'm really pleased to introduce. She's Dr. Andrea Andy Simon. She has some really interesting ideas how to grow your business. And I welcome Dr. Simon to the program. And there you go, Dan.
Thank you, Don. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Dan, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure for us to have you. Let's start off with the basics. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your company, and a website?
Sure. So I'm Andy Simon. I'm an anthropologist. And I have a background in financial services, academia, and healthcare, all of which were organizations going through change. And then I launched my business right after 9/11 to bring the tools of anthropology to businesses that had to see, feel, and think in new ways. I'm an award-winning author, and my book is out a year now, and it won an award from Axiom Books for one of the best business books of the year. And so I'm quite honored to be able to share it with you folks. Our company focuses on other companies that have stalled or are finding it difficult to adapt to these fast-changing times. And so we have built a number of tools to help them and approaches to do that. In my book, I have 7 case studies of clients of ours who were stuck on the brink. And my podcast just got launched yesterday. It's called On the Brink. And it's all about how do you see, feel, and think in new ways. The websites. The book website is andysimon.com, that's A-N-D-I, simon.com, and the business website is simonassociates.net, and on them you will find a lot of the tools that we like our folks to use themselves. In some ways, I teach them to become amateur anthropologists and help them see things with fresh eyes. So that's who we are, and that's what we do.
That's terrific. Thank you for all that information. As somebody who's been in the financial service business now going on 44 years, I'm fascinated that you're using anthropology in the financial service business. Could you speak to that for a little bit, please?
Well, when I was working with them, they were all going through deregulation. And at the time, although we've been working with some financial services now, but at the time it was really about how do we take a population of people who signed on for civil service-type jobs and turn them into sales and service people. And that's a cultural transformation of great importance. And on the other side of it, was that the consumer is changing as well. And as we know today, consumer behavior is really driving the way business behavior is developing. So we did some research, for example, on how inheritors of $500,000 of wealth were looking at banks as solutions. And it didn't take long in our, we do a lot of innovation games, and our innovation games work with them. They told us lots of things about what they thought about banks, how they disvalued them, how over within them was unsettling, and how they were looking for alternatives. But on the other hand, they weren't quite sure who to trust, and trust is a big factor. So what we do is apply the methods and tools of anthropology, of observational research. Because I was an executive, I was at that time doing a lot of participant observation. But we also learned about how difficult it is to change employee behavior and how to adapt to consumer behavior that's driving those changes is not an easy task. So we do a lot of that. It doesn't matter what kind of industry it's in. It's pretty agnostic. I was particularly interested in your small business because I'm married to a serial entrepreneur, and small business is one of the areas that we specialize in. But, you know, financial services are going through a great transformation now, and consumer is driving it.
Thank you so much for that insight. Let's talk about what you can do for our customers, our listeners, small businesses. What products or services do you have that you think might be applicable to a small businessman or woman?
Absolutely. So let's I like to start with a story that sort of illustrates it and makes it come alive for them. But we worked with one business. It was in the $10 million travel pillow business, and he wanted to grow to $100 million, which is not an uncommon story for small business. I'm not sure how small business is, but $10 million was, you know, on the brink of going someplace. And the problem that they found was no scalability. Now, this is an area that we specialize in because scalability is essential to take a small business to the next size, whatever that might be. We're working with another firm today that's $7 million and wants to grow, but it needs scalability. And without the automation and the types of processing that's coming out today and the type of people to take it, so we work with them to help them see, feel, and think about their business freshly because they often get so good at doing the business they can't really see what's coming next. And the other side of it is I find that many of them have no strategy for growth. Small business often is so busy doing the business. So we work with them on strategy and then on how to execute that strategy. I have a change map process, which is sort of a backward plan. So if we know where we're going in 2 years, we want to be, I don't know, $12 million, can we do it? And once we backward plan it, we realize all too often their aspirations exceed their possible implementation, and we begin to adjust that to make it realistic. So we love the change map process. We love the backward planning. We often use innovation games to help them creatively bring their teams together. And but all of it is built around scalability and fast growth. And to be honest with you today, it's a very fast-paced time, and nobody can stay small too long. They get gobbled up. One of the things we're finding now are a lot of mergers and acquisitions are gobbling up little guys, and the small business is beginning to find challenges it didn't expect. So those are some of the things we do.
So let me ask you a question about the growth characteristics. If I understood you, you said that a lot of people don't have a plan on how to grow their business. Did I hear you correctly?
That is correct.
And why do you think that's so?
Well, from the small businesses that we've worked with, entrepreneurs, companies have started in the event marketing business, people who are manufacturing a new widget, they're so busy on the factory or on the current event that they're doing that the idea of thinking strategically and planning how to get there and actually implementing it is either outside their skill set or outside the day that they live. Very few people have a day during the week when they think strategy. If they do a strategy plan, it's a two-day retreat that they take their staff away for, and it really becomes a financial plan or a tactical plan. As long as the inbox was ringing beautifully, whoever came in, they did. And very often we find small business very diversified, as if that's a value. but not strategic as if it's going somewhere. And strategy requires, you know, a really good understanding of unmet needs, non-users, and how you're going to go after the market. The competition is keen and commoditization is keen. And every time they come in, they say we're getting priced out of the market. They don't value what we do. It really is, you know, an anger at the client, but not a strategy to overcome those hurdles and get them someplace. I think that often small business people are doers and they're not discoverers. And at some point, you need to be a discoverer if you're going to take your business to someplace new. And you need to be out there looking at it all the time, not just 2 days a month or a year. And I really work with them very much about building strategy into a conversation. Their staff don't know if they're on strategy or if they're off strategy. So those are some of the things that we've experienced. I don't know what you're seeing, but that's sometimes a real roadblock to growth. It's like if the inbox is ringing, I'm happy, and if it's not, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah. Don, got a question for the good doctor?
Oh, I've got several, but you oftentimes talk about strategies for growth. We have about 3 minutes before our next break, but my question is, what are some of the recommended strategies you have for growth?
Sure. So we're Blue Ocean Strategists, and we went through practitioner training with Renee Morbon, who wrote Blue Ocean Strategy about 12 years ago, and we worked with some of their folks at INSEAD. We believe that the old strategy model of take your competitive segment and make it cheaper or better worked in a stable environment. But the fast pace of change requires you now to be very much looking at unmet needs, non-users, and how to be a value innovator, not simply an incrementalist. Everybody benchmarks themselves. They go to the same trade shows. And we try to pull them out and look at what could happen. So we have, you know, client after client where we have them sit on the telephone and listen to the customer service calls. One guy grew his business 40% on all the things that were coming to him for people who needed solutions that they didn't do that way. And so I do think that there's a strategy literally before you. You just need a moment to step back and look at it, listen differently. There was one guy who went out with his sales force and realized that every client asked what-if questions. Those were unmet needs that could grow the business. And so we get them into really thinking about blue oceans as opposed to competing in the red bloody ones where there are others just like them. And so we become so comfortable with it that it becomes the way of thinking. And we hope that they become thinkers that way too, because once they do, they never see anything in the same way it used to be. So that's how we approach strategy. It's very blue ocean.
Well, before we go to break, I'll ask you another quick one, which we'll perhaps have to separate into two parts. But, in a rapidly growing sector, I was at the medical marijuana convention last week, and it was very interesting. It started 4 years ago with 13 tabletops, and now it took up half of the Jacob Javits Center. But as a small company, how do you separate yourself in a rapidly growing area? But I'll tell you, Dr. Simon, let's hold that your answer till we have our commercial break, which
great
is
question,
coming up right now.
Great.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late-night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Don't let hackers get your data. Email is insecure and can't handle large files. Instead, use Biscom's Secure File Transfer product. Military-grade security that's as easy to use as email, and it can handle attachments of any size. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial and make sure your private communications stay private. That's BISCOM.com.
We're here with Dr. Andrea Simon. She's providing us with a crash course in growing a small business. And I just asked her a question. How do you separate yourself in a rapidly growing area? I use medical marijuana because I happened to be at the show last week. But Dr. Simon, do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. And I think that's a great illustration because the competition is rising quickly. The question is, how are you going to be the equivalent of the Google in the medical marijuana world? How are you going to dominate and fast? And one of the things I would ask you is, as you walked around the trade show, did you all look exactly the same? Or was anybody really differentiating themselves in a very innovative fashion, in any fashion at all? Maybe, yes, no, perhaps.
What do you think, Don?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear quite the question.
I was going to ask you if you saw anybody really differentiating themselves of all the tables that were at the medical marijuana trade show. Or were they all looking very much like each other and trying to benchmark itself against each other?
You hit it right on the nail on the head. It was because I didn't see anybody differentiating. It was a typical show, trade show, where you walk down the aisle and many of the booths didn't explain what they did in any signage or anything, and you had and they were either passive or overly aggressive, one or the other, and it was just an interesting thing. But here's the industry, which is go ahead, Dr. Simon.
No, I mean, because you're hitting the nail on the head. This is a very bloody red ocean coming, and anyone who's trying to participate looking like someone else in it doesn't understand that they could, in fact, soar. Think of themselves as wanting to become the Uber or the Airbnb in a new platform model instead of an old pipeline one where we make it and you sell it, buy it. I mean, who's going to really capture the imagination of both the distributor and the end user? I was speaking to somebody who's in the medical marijuana business not long ago down in Albuquerque, and she said what craft beer was to 2010, marijuana is going to be for 2020. And we're out there really booking our distribution channels, because that's where all of the excitement is going to be. And then in another group out in Oregon, they were saying they were really looking at the end users because that's where the excitement is going to be. This is a wonderful business time. As small businesses, they could think big. But I do think that there's a major shift going from pipeline to platform that Uber and Airbnb are typical of. And they really aren't manufacturing anything. They're connecting people who have a need, I need a ride, with people who have a car, I want to make money on it. And so somewhere along the line, someone's going to realize that a platform model might work really well in this industry that's emerging. And I'll bet there was nobody there who was platform thinking. They were thinking, I got marijuana, I grew it, now I got to find people who are going to distribute and sell it for me in the medical room. And it's going to be highly red, very competitive, very bloody. And it's not going to take long for some of them going to fall out. And I'm looking forward to somebody really changing the model and using mechanical intelligence, artificial intelligence, all of the systems online to really differentiate themselves in some fashion. So that's a trend that we are seeing. What do you think?
That's extremely interesting. Dan, you have a question?
I do. I want to broaden it out a little bit. Let's use an example of an individual or organization who has identified a problem of a series of businesses, and they've identified the problem and they've created a solution, and it's a solution that nobody else has. So if our small business people are listening, they've got this idea for a new widget. Nobody else has got it. How do they go about capturing market share and holding that share because they're solving a problem that is just a problem for everybody in that particular space.
So they've got a wide vision of something that expands beyond a single niche. We're really thinking big now. And we now need to, right? So we're inbound marketers. So I'll put this into a context that we do often, because now they have to create demand, but they really think there is demand out there. They just don't know that, and people don't know that they're a solution for that demand. So now we got to go out into the world of the internet and begin to both create demand for what we've got and capture those who are looking for it. And what we find is that the search words, the keywords, long-tail keywords, are an extraordinary indication of who is looking for something like what you're solving and how to pull them into your, and I'll finish it with, what is your web world, your social media, all doing to create that demand and capture it? Now, I don't know what the delivery channels might be for that particular operation. One of the things we're finding is the direct to the end user is really powerful. Using distributors, manufacturers, reps are a little bit more challenging today. But you really are talking about a possibility of really building a huge market space, and you're going to have to do it by creating demand and experiential as well. I'll add one thing to that. If your new widget is so good, how can you give it to people to try? I love the bed company who's giving you a mattress for 90 days to try for free. If you give it, will they then become your viral producers of demand out there? So there are some really interesting possibilities for you to get into the market. Maybe give it away for free for 90 days. But if you believe that it is really a solution that is transformative, you're going to have to use some innovative tools to get there. But don't be bashful about it. If you really have something they need, they're looking for it already online. And now you can become the solution provider. But don't think
Is it a different approach if you're doing it, if your business model is B2B versus directly to consumers?
You know, that comes up often. I almost could hear you thinking that. Because today's consumer, B2B or B2C, are not all that different. They are sort of, but they're not. So we had, I'll give you a case study and then come back to the general question. We had a client in Texas, and his salespeople were great, but nobody was answering the phone anymore. Because their clients had retired, and the people who had replaced them in the buyer's position were now 30-somethings. And what he was finding was that 30-somethings didn't answer the telephone. In fact, what they did is they had a need. They would go online. They would research it. They would go to forums. They would talk to colleagues. They would read material, both things that had been written by a company as well as third-party endorsements or discussions. And then they would begin to sort out and consider which ones they would consider. And then they would go onto those websites and take another look, and then they would email them, call them, or reach out that way. Now, the B2B world is changing. And in another case study, he realized that his buyers had now become a team of 30-somethings, and the team would decide who they were going to use. And in another case study, the manufacturer's reps had retired, and the 30-somethings who replaced them were going after a branded solution, not an unbranded solution, which was his. So I don't think that the nature of the buyer in a B2B world has changed as much as people have changed, and whether they're in B2B or B2C, they're using different approaches to solving the problems that they've got. And it doesn't matter whether you're B2B or B2C, you really need to understand how people go about deciding on things today, and it's just very different.
Right. How are we doing on time, Dan?
Dan? I was about to say, Dan, we have time for one more question. And I'll let you ask it.
I would say, Doctor, I want to ask the question, but also want you to give your website again and your book. But the question is, what do you think is the most powerful tool that you have in your or arrow in your quiver to help people grow their businesses?
That's a wonderful question. Great way to end it. So people, by and large, hate to change. The brain hates it. And so what we do is we try to take them out of where they're most comfortable, where their habits are driving their daily life, and get them to step out and see, feel, and think in new ways. So I love to take them observing. We go on calls to their own clients with me along and or one of my staff along, and we all sit down afterwards to listen to what we heard, only to realize that they heard something different than we heard. And often they just can't see what's all around them. There was a great quote by John Seely Brown that said, the way forward is all around you. And so what we try to do is, in fact, make that happen. But it's not as hard as that one would think. So the gentleman who sat on the phone and listened to incoming calls all of a sudden realized how much was there. Another one looked at emails coming from parts of the country he didn't sell in. Often it's right in front of you. And so what we like to do is make anthropology less stuffy, more simple. And at times we work with them on their own employees. Undercover Boss is a great model. If they haven't hung out and listened to what's going on in their factory or plant or services, they need to spend time outside of their corner office beginning to really see, feel, and think in new ways. Because quite frankly, the future is coming at them fast, and they're missing it if they don't.
Dr. Simon, you've been a terrific guest. So please tell us once again your website and how people can reach you.
Certainly. Our website is simonassociates.net or andysimon.com. My book is On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights. Our podcast is called On the Brink, and it was launched yesterday. So go subscribe and listen. And you can reach us at info@simonassociates.net, and we'd love to talk. We'd love to talk.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope our audience enjoyed listening to some of the thought-provoking ideas. Thank you.
Been a pleasure.
Now, a word from our sponsors.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
Hate your old fax machine? You can now fax through email. Simply write an email, attach the document, and send. Works with all major email providers. Get rid of the noisy and expensive old fax machine and try Biscom's Cloud Fax. Our solutions are great for businesses of all sizes. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial. That's BISCOM.com.
Our next guest is Rick Del Santro. He's disrupting the moving industry, which certainly does need the moving disruption. Based on my experiences. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I deliberately didn't say anything else, so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your company, your website, and just why you are disrupting the industry, and then I'll turn it over to Dan, who'll ask you some of the probing questions he's famous for.
Absolutely, and thanks for the opportunity. Like I said, my name is Rick Del Santro. I'm the president and one of the founders of Zippy Shell, and we are a nationwide franchising company that focuses on both storage and moving. To your point earlier, we do feel like we have taken two old and tired industries and sort of turned them upside down on their heads and are disrupting them. And really trying to take a leadership role in how we think these industries are going to look like, not in a year, but in 5 and 10 years. And we're having great success and a fantastic time.
Well, go ahead, Don.
No, Ben, you first.
Okay, so how can people get a hold of you? What's your website? And so that we can let them know how to get a hold of you and talk to you about what it is you're doing.
Sure. It's a simple one. It's zippyshell.com, ZippyShell.com.
So tell us, how have you turned the industry up on its head? What have you done that's
okay,
dramatic and new and
sure,
different?
Sure. So let's. There's two separate industries that we sort of address as storage and moving. Oftentimes they're sort of commingled, if you will. But let's talk specific about each one of them and where I see our model being more effective and more consumer friendly. So we'll start with storage. For many years, dating back to the 1960s, the only thing people knew was the traditional brick and mortar style of storage. You would rent a truck, borrow a truck, bring it to your home or work location, load things into it, drive to the storage facility, offload it, put it on a dolly, go up three levels on the elevator down the hallway, and that's the way you did storage. It was highly inconvenient, but that's the only option you had, and it grew large. I mean, at this point in time, there's 50,000-plus storage facilities in the United States and literally enough storage space for every man, woman, and child to stand inside storage simultaneously. So it's big. It's a big market, big industry. Back in 1997, a competitor company called Pods came on the scene, and they had a much more simplified model to storage. Rather than you renting a truck or, borrowing a truck, like I said, and making multiple trips, they brought a container out. They left it there for you. You loaded your things in it. They could bring it back or they could keep it there. The challenge was with their model, and they've been very successful, but the challenge was with their model is that their capital equipment cost was so expensive that they were priced as a premium service in the marketplace. And what do I mean by that? Well, you go to any market across anywhere USA, and typically what you would find is that you could get a traditional brick-and-mortar storage facility, same comparable size, for $50 to $100 less per month than what they were forced to charge you. Now, they proved that there is a segment of the consumer market that is willing to pay a premium for that convenience. But there's a bigger segment of the market that looked at that and said, look, I'll inconvenience myself for the cost savings. Well, Zippy Shell comes along and we sort of refine that model. We have lower capital equipment costs, which means that all of a sudden you get the conveniences of portable storage, of mobile storage, but you do so at a price point that feels just like traditional storage. And so we like to say we bridge the gap between the convenience that we offer, and we do it at a price point that's in line with traditional storage. Now, if you look at storage in general, look, everything in our consumer society is going to a sort of an on-demand home service-related model. And I joke all the time with my children are 10 and 13, and when they have children, they're going to look at me and they're going to say, Grandpa, tell me again how you guys used to do storage. I think it's really funny. Because they're not going to know about all these inconveniences. What they're going to know is you pick up a device, you say, I want a storage unit brought to my home next Thursday from 2 to 4. I need loading help, and that's it. The transaction's over. Highly convenient, on demand, to your home, and that's the way storage is gravitating. So we think we're very disruptive on the storage side against some of our competitors that are already doing the mobile or portable, but really against an industry that will shift away from a very inconvenient process to a much more consumer-centered, convenient process. Now, on the moving side, the change is even more dramatic. The van line model of moving, in my opinion, is broken, old, dated, and it's really centered around a number of problematic themes. Number one, it's very asset-laden. You have to go out and buy a new 53-foot truck, and it's very expensive. You have to find a driver for that truck. There's a shortage of those drivers in the country, so there are capacity issues. And the actual size of a move today has gotten a lot smaller because the millennials are the people that are moving now, and they just have a lot less stuff. Now, how does a company like Zippy Shell fit in and disrupt this model? Well, first of all, if you're a traditional van line and you're going from Washington, D.C. to Dallas, Texas, you have a 53-foot truck. It's going to hold 20,000 to 30,000 pounds of goods. And if somebody calls you up and says, I have 4,000 to 5,000 pounds, you're not going to be really excited about taking that move. In fact, in peak seasons, you're not even going to touch that move. Why? Because you're going to need to find four or five other people going in the same direction at the same time that you can load into that truck to make it make sense, because that truck is, that model doesn't work unless that truck is full going to Dallas and full coming back out of Dallas. But with Zippy Shell, it works fine for us. 4,000 to 5,000 pounds sits in one of our containers. We take that container, then we put it on a freight truck, a common carrier freight truck, that will deliver it to the next Zippy Shell location that then delivers it to your home. So gone are the long, you know, periods, wait periods over the summers and spring and even fall where you might not get a delivery for 30 to 45 days. We can basically get a truck across country in 5 days. We're happy to handle that small move, which, by the way, is the great majority of the moves today. And it doesn't matter to me. I don't own those trucks, so whether the truck is full going to Dallas or not isn't my problem. I'm just buying space on that truck who's going to take it from point A to point B. The other advantage, again, to the consumer is we've now offered them options that are based upon the service levels you want that will influence the cost of that move. So with a professional mover, you come in, they pack, they load your stuff, they deliver it, they unload it, and they unpack it. With us, you have all kinds of options. You can do it yourself, where you pack and load your own things into the container. We'll transport it. We'll re-deliver it out to you. You can unload and unpack. You can have a sort of a hybrid, if you will, or an economy move, which is where you pack it, we'll load it, deliver it to your new location and unload it. Or you can have the same type of experience you would with a van line, where someone will come in, pack and load your stuff. We'll ship it. They'll bring it out. They'll unload it. They'll unpack it. But we just do it at about a 30% discount to what the van line is going to charge you. So that's kind of how these industries right now are being disruptive. And what you will see is in the future, the great majority of Americans are going to move inside of containers and that are put inside the freight trucks in a containerized fashion. And they're not going to be sort of restricted to the van line model.
Rick, I have to we have to take a break right now for a commercial break, but we'll be right back because that's a fascinating description that I'm sure Dan and I would both like to talk about. Hold on 1 minute.
You got it.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, or all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
We're back with Rick Del Santro, who's here talking about the an interesting approach to the moving industry. Dan, why don't you start the question, talking to our guest?
Rick, I have to tell you, I lived your experience. I was listening to what you were saying. We moved from New Jersey to Sanibel Island, Florida, and we called Mayflower, and we had some stuff we wanted to ship to my sister and my son in Ohio. They said, no problem, we can take care of that, but we can't get you to Florida. And I said, what do you mean? He said, there's nobody that takes stuff out of New Jersey to Florida. So we shopped around, and U-Haul has a container service that they brought them out to the house. We hired people to come in and pre-pack the boxes, and then they came in and loaded the containers. They took them away on a truck, brought them to Ohio and Florida, and brought them to the house, opened them up, and unloaded them, put everything where we wanted it done. It was a great, great experience, but it was really disheartening when they said, we can't move you to Florida. And the only way they said they could do it is they could possibly find another common carrier that they could piggyback on, and they didn't know when they would get our stuff to Florida. So very yeah. frustrating, but very, very, very much what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's really a challenge. I think that during the peak season, there's probably, you know, I'll be generous, 15,000 van line trucks running around the country. At any given point in time, there's 2 million freight trucks in the U.S. that we can access. So there's just a lot more capacity there for us to do that. And we're not restricted. Like I said, I don't know how much stuff you guys had, but it probably wasn't enough to get them excited to drive a truck down to Florida. And that was probably the biggest issue for them. And like I said, the reality is that the van line agents they're chasing, the baby boomers who have, 20,000 to 30,000 pounds of goods. And that's fine, except that's a really shrinking market today. The people moving are the millennials, and the average move size is around 4,500 pounds, and which is about one of our containers. So it works perfectly.
Dan, could I a question I have that affected us on our move was the fact, if something gets damaged, who's responsible and how do you resolve it?
Sure, yeah. Look, I first of all, I think that's one of the beauties of the Zippy Shell move model. Let me tell you often why things get damaged when you are doing an interstate move with a van line model. The reason it gets damaged or lost is because they handle your stuff so many times. People don't realize it, but this is how it happens. They'll come to your home and they'll load everything into a truck. Then they'll go back to their warehouse facility and they'll take it off the truck, because that truck's not the truck that's running the line haul going to where your ultimate destination is, unless it's local, of course. Now I'm talking about long distance. So now they've touched your stuff twice and they've done an inventory and they've left it on the floor of the warehouse or put it on racking systems. So the opportunity for it to get lost or maybe even stolen is possible, right? So now the haulage truck comes to their location and they load it on. They've now touched it three times. Somewhere along the way, they've probably stopped, offloaded it, and loaded somebody else's stuff in and put yours in the back because you're next on the stop. They end up touching the customer's goods on average six times during that move process. So if I touch anything six times, there's a good chance it'll get damaged, right? Or something goes missing, it just gets mixed in with somebody else's move. So the van line model has about a 30% plus claims rate, meaning literally 3 out of 10 of their moves end up with some sort of lost or damaged item. Zippy Shell has an industry-leading, sub 3% claims rate, and here's why. Your stuff is only touched one time when it's loaded into the container. You put your own lock on it. The next time it's touched is when you take it out, unlock that lock, and take it out of the container at your location, at your ultimate destination location. So that is really a huge advantage because that's what causes the damage. Now, having said that, look, Zippy Shell's responsible. If something happens, if you've hired on your own independently a loading company and they drop some item, they're going to be responsible for that. But if Zippy Shell coordinates the entire process for you, then we're responsible. We've got you covered. And so, again, if you're packing and loading on your own and stuff gets damaged, it's no different than you putting stuff in a U-Haul truck and driving up the street. That's on you. But if Zippy Shell is coordinating for you those services of loading the goods into the container and unloading them, then we've got you covered. But we have such minimal claims, and it's really a nice feeling knowing that very few of our customers are going to ever have any damage, and the damage they might have might be a nick or a scratch here. sub a couple hundred bucks and we move on our way. So it's really a great way to move. It's one of the things I think a lot of consumers, I give them a lot of credit. They're a lot smarter, and more aware as shoppers than I thought they might be, because I never thought that they would really see that value point in our proposition, but they clearly do.
Back to you, Dan.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that I understand who you are and what you are. Are you, in essence, a scheduler, or do you actually own the pods and the transfer and connections to the freight forwarders, or as I said, are you simply a scheduler?
Yeah, no. Here's what we have. We have on one side, on where your origin is, we have franchisees that perform the service on a local level. So, again, let's use Washington, D.C. to Dallas. So in Washington, D.C., we would coordinate with our local franchise owner there to deliver a container or multiple containers out to your home and take those containers back to their secure climate-controlled facility and wait for a freight truck, which, yes, we coordinate that corporately. We coordinate that freight truck coming to the local Washington, D.C. location and being delivered to our franchise owner in Dallas, Texas, who will then take that container off the truck, put it into our Zippy Shell trailer, which is our delivery vehicle, and deliver it back to your new home. So that's what we are in the process. We are, we're not a middleman by any stretch of the imagination, but we're the franchisor, and we've got all the different parts around the country, and we sort of link them together. The containers you move in are corporately owned assets that we own, but they're used in conjunction for the moving industry by our franchise partners along the way. And so that's how it works, and it works very effectively.
How many franchisees do you have?
Well, we sold about 135 markets across the country. We think at our peak, we'll probably be in about 300 or so markets. And that's, we're never going to have thousands and thousands of franchise locations because, you buy larger geographic areas with our model. We think we're probably 40% of the way home right now, and we've got a lot more opportunity out there. Yeah.
Are you a public company?
We are not. No, we're a privately held company.
Okay. Don?
We have about 3 minutes, Dan. What's your website again, and how do people reach you?
Yeah, so the website address is simply zippyshell.com. And then if you need to reach me or anybody on our team, the contact information is there. My direct phone number is 202-345-3420.
Will you spell out the website? Because this is radio.
Yep. Yeah, sure. It's Zippy, Zippy, Shell, Shell.com.
Dan, why don't you ask the final question for what I find a fascinating new concept.
Oh, I agree. If you look in your crystal ball, what's going to happen to the Mayflowers and the United Van Lines?
I mean, if they're not, they're pretty close to it. I mean, look, I've often wondered as an entrepreneur, like, did the horse and buggy guy not see the automobile coming? And, what in the world did Research in Motion not see when they lost the entire handheld device market? And even Netflix, did Blockbuster not see Netflix pivot? And so this is what's happening. The van line industry has known about a containerized concept for years and years and years, and they're slow to react. They're not willing to react because they're so invested in their equipment, their trucks. They own these assets, and they need these assets to be on the road. So let me give you just one last example. If a van line needed to add a unit of supply to the marketplace, one 53-foot truck, they would need to do the following. They need to go out and buy that equipment, call it $400,000, and they need to find a driver, okay? for Zippy Shell to add the same unit of capacity, 53 feet, it cost me $6,000 to buy three containers. And that's the big difference. Yeah, and that's really where the difference is in the business model.
Amazing. Well, we've been talking to Rick Del Santoro, CEO of Zippy Shell Moving and Storage. Great concept. Thank you for giving us a look at the future. Thank you for joining us today, Rick.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Enjoy your day, and thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Will this be your summer to rediscover the red, white, and blue of America? American small business is back and growing again. We can say that the American people feel good about the red, white, and blue. If you own a small business, you should be proud of what you've accomplished. When you're out looking for new business, take some time to rediscover your past. When you drive into a new town, go to a gas station that's the cleanest and brightest and ask the station owner, "What should I be seeing during my visit to your town?" Make your business calls, but before you move on, go see what makes this town and its people so special. The next time you come through to make a call on that prospect, tell him what you found out about his town. The red, white, and blue of America may bring you great rewards in many ways if you'll just look for them. I'm Dan Perkins from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day.
Before you hear this, or this, or even this, before you turn a key, step on the gas, and let it rip, before you get up and out and on the road, you have to be fueled by something. Make sure that something is Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
I was on a program last night, Dan, where the topic was, is there growth in America? Are people becoming more optimistic? I said they were. What do you think, Dan?
Well, I think that there's cautious optimism, which I think would be the best word. Cautious because going into the election of Donald Trump, there was a hope and a desire that if he were to get elected, there would be real change. And he's done a lot of things with regulations which will help business. But two of his major promises, the repeal of Obamacare and changing of the tax structure, seem to be bogged down. In fact, they're so bogged down, we don't even know what the Republican Senate proposal is going to be because it's all been developed behind closed doors. Now, I understand that McConnell, I think it's Rule 44 or Rule 14, where he's going to bring it out, much like his predecessor did when Obamacare came out, and is not allowing committee comments and reviews. It's an up or down vote. So, and now we're talking, well, maybe they'll get tax reform this year, maybe next year. So as the two things that have the greatest impact on small business, one is the cost of health care, and two being taxes, people are concerned that the delay is going to adversely affect them. So I think that's why you're seeing a slight dampening of enthusiasm.
Well, we're going to find out whether that enthusiasm is dampened because there's an election in Georgia, which everybody's pointing to.
I think that's a mistake, Don. It's not everybody that's pointing to it. We've got to keep in mind that this is the third election, and three times in a row, the mainstream media is trying to convince America that this is where Mr. Trump's going to get his comeuppance. And this is a local election, not a national election. And to try and say that a local election is going to change the momentum of the economy or the people who believe in Donald Trump, it didn't work the last two times. So if it works, if this guy gets elected in Georgia, I don't agree. I don't think that you can read anything into that because, as you have said, so many times, politics and elections is a local business, not a national business.
Well, I also think that the Republican will prevail. She's a very good candidate. Interesting enough, she looks younger than her opponent, who's 20 years younger. I don't know if you've seen it, but what it does mean for small business, I think, is the optimism and everything. I think there will be a health care bill out of the Senate and a House that will eventually do what every bill is supposed to do, not please everybody, anybody. Because,
and you think that's going to happen this year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just want to make the point. I saw yesterday where a story on Drudge where McConnell, it's being reported that the leadership of the Republican Party is discussing eliminating the August recess in order to try and advance the president's agenda. I can't tell you whether it's true or not. I just read it on Drudge. But if you had a suspension of the August recess and the congressmen and senators stayed in Washington to work on health care and taxes, that'd be a huge boost, huge boost.
Well, I only quote Will Rogers on that. Let me see if I got it right. Best thing Congress can do is go home.
Well, but going home, if you look at the legislative agenda, the calendar, if they take the August recess, I don't think there's enough legislative days left between now and the end of the year for them to pass either one of those either health care or tax reform, because they're not going to be around that much.
Well, I agree. First off, I was only kidding. But my view, I guess I have more faith in the legislators than you do. but I really feel that they're going to be. Let's turn to another subject. We have about 1 minute before we have to take a break, and then we'll come back and start all over.
Okay.
What do you think about raising the interest rate? Real quick, you have about a minute, Dan.
There are people who are now saying that the Fed move a week or so ago of raising the short-term interest rates was a mistake, that the economic numbers don't support the Fed to raise interest rates, and they're not talking about jobs, they're talking about inflation. Inflation is not going to be anywhere near the target that the Fed wants. It's going to be much lower than that, and so as a result, many people felt that the economy is going to continue to slow, and the Fed didn't need to take this rate. But I think the Fed has been out of touch with the world of reality for a long time. So they say they're going to raise it three times. Come hell or high water, Mrs. Yellen is going to raise it three times.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success.
Here's an urgent message from Agora Financial.
Most of the tiny penny stocks operating in the newly formed marijuana markets are garbage. That's the truth of it. But there are a few that have a legitimate chance of becoming blue chip marijuana firms. And that's certainly the case for one 25-cent marijuana player that we've analyzed. Why? Because it was recently revealed that they are expected to deliver the best quarter on record to shareholders. All segments of operations, construction, wholesale, and retail are being reported as profitable and self-sustaining. And they could be getting ready to deliver some really big news. shares could soar in the near future. Once the mainstream media begins covering this story, it could send share prices screaming higher. Go to profitfrompot.com to find out how you can legally stake a claim in the best of the best that the industry has to offer. If you don't, you'll probably regret it for the rest of your life. Go to profitfrompot.com. That's profitfrompot.com.